China understands that the United States regards North Korea as our top security threat.
China says it's helping deal with North Korea. It's Friday, June 23rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Join us too on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, China hopes to slow money flowing out of the country. Robots challenge job seekers in India. The good work of Muslims. Better blood flow from space and transforming, at the movies that is. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China has called for an early resumption of talks on North Korea's nuclear program and reaffirmed its willingness to resolve the dispute through negotiations. According to the state news agency Xinhua, Beijing restated its commitment Wednesday to a denuclearized Korean peninsula at a one-day diplomatic and security dialogue in Washington. It also called for the dual suspension of Pyongyang's nuclear activities and joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises. The talks involved U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and his defense colleague Jim Mattis, along with Chinese State Counselor Yang Jiechi and China's Army Chief General Fang Fenghui.
China understands that the United States regards North Korea as our top security threat. We reiterated to China that they have a diplomatic responsibility to exert much greater economic and diplomatic pressure on the regime if they want to prevent further escalation in the region. Whether it is money laundering, extorting Korean expatriates, or malicious cyber activity, North Korea has engaged in a number of criminal enterprises that help fund its weapons programs. We must step up our efforts to curtail these sources of revenue. Countries around the world and in the UN Security Council are joining in this effort, and we hope China will do their part as well.
Meanwhile, the New York Times, quoting American officials and foreign diplomats, said the Trump administration is under growing pressure to strike a deal to reduce the American footprint in South Korea in exchange for a freeze on Pyongyang's nuclear program. It said versions of the proposal have been put forth by new South Korean President Moon Jae-in, China's foreign minister, and a senior Chinese military official. Tufts University Korea analyst Sung-Yoon Lee tells VOA's Victor Beatty dialogue like that in Washington will not move China to change its current attitude toward North Korea.
Dialogue, consultations, conversation between the U.S. and China, that's a good thing because at the very least, both sides can better assess and ascertain the other side's interests, intentions. There's intelligence value in discussing issues of mutual interest. Of course, dialogue in itself will not resolve deeply embedded important issues between the two countries. For example, approach to North Korea's nuclear weapons program, the South China Sea, and a host of other issues, including economic issues. The fact that the two sides met at a high level, that's a good thing. But to assume that this kind of consultation or conference diplomacy will lead to any breakthrough on these sensitive matters, that would be an illusion.
Secretary of State Tillerson said, "We repeated to China that they have a diplomatic responsibility to exert much greater economic and diplomatic pressure on the North Korean regime if they want to prevent further escalation in the region."
Every U.S. Secretary of State since the nuclear crisis, the North Korean nuclear quagmire, flared up now some 25 years ago, has approached China, has exhorted to his or her Chinese counterpart to do the right thing, to exert political economic pressure on North Korea, to rein the Kim regime in. All those exhortations have fallen pretty much on deaf ears. And I don't mean to denigrate, slander China or Chinese leaders or their interests. The fact of the matter is, nation states, especially big countries, act in some ways like an individual. Unless there is a crisis on your hands, unless there's a hot potato right there, unless there's an imminent penalty, a court order, jail time, unless you're right in the middle of a crisis, you are unlikely to act on things that are not in your immediate interest. So China needs to be presented with some economic disincentives, some costs. Moral suasion in itself will get nowhere.
Sung-Yun Lee said there is a lot that the United States has available to pressure China to act, such as going after Chinese state-owned enterprises, banks, and individuals that blatantly violate UN Security Council resolutions to do business with North Korea. But it so far lacks the political will to do so. You can read more in our top story on Facebook at VOA Asia and on our voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. Marawi militants losing, Philippines says, but neighbors fear their spread. The United States and EU urge China to limit food import control. Qatar issue may affect China's soft power as biggest property buyer. Compelling Vietnam foreign investors unfazed by Trump's trade deal rebuff. Asia's booming plastics industry prompts ocean pollution fears. Expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia, and we invite you to stop by the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. China's soft power as the world's biggest property buyer is under severe strain due to a government crackdown on capital flight and the Qatar controversy, which is expected to drive a lot of Arab money into the property market in Western countries. Qatar citizens are desperately looking for alternative investment avenues, as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates recently cut off relations with their country and issued orders making it difficult for them to hold property in different Arab countries, according to property sellers. Sajid Bashir is CEO of the London-based Copperstones International Properties.
I think the key is uncertainty. If you think about the uncertainty in the region, you have Yemen-Saudi issue, you have Qatar-Saudi issue, they're blocking it. Right, you have Iran and Saudi issue going on. So the entire Middle East has an unrest. Then unrest creates panic. The panic creates diversification because people become mindful to think, oh, what if Qatar gets blocked again?
Qatar has emerged as the single biggest foreign source of investment in London properties in recent years, with government agencies lapping up major buildings like Harrods, according to Bashir.
I think because the governments have been investing, they are mindful of this problem. Now the people realize that we cannot keep all the money in Qatar and we cannot trust Dubai and Saudi, right? And we cannot obviously go to Iran because it's on the sanction list. So it doesn't leave you many choices.
Although fund outflows have reduced, Chinese buyers are still finding ways to invest in foreign markets, some of whom offer long-term residency for property investments. This was evident at a recent luxury property show in Beijing when dozens of foreign companies exhibited investment opportunities with a wide range of lucrative offers, including long-term residency and quasi-citizenship. Several European and other countries, including Greece, Malta, and Spain, have been offering, quote, golden visas linked to minimum property investments ranging between $350,000 and $700,000. Agents are also approaching Chinese investors with promises to help them meet requirements of the EB-5 visas in the United States. For long-term residency, investors in business or commercial property need to prove that their investments have helped generate direct or indirect employment for at least 10 persons. Andrew Collier, managing director of Orient Capital Research in Hong Kong, said the government's main focus has been to curb foreign currency outflows. It has achieved considerable success in stopping major foreign investments in commercial property and businesses like entertainment that the government does not want to encourage.
It's not clear if they've been as effective for the small consumers who are doing small-scale overseas investments. But the data is not very clear on. It's unlikely they're going to have any more severe crackdown on overseas purchases of real estate or any other foreign assets. If those flows reverse again, then there will be more severe crackdown. Other issues such as soft power are less important than the size of the foreign exchange reserves. People have been forced to keep money home, and that's helped fuel the bubble. The property bubble is caused by excess credit domestically. But it has been certainly been helped by the fact that people can't move their money offshore. If property prices come down, then people are going to be much more eager. They're going to be rushing for the exits to get their money overseas. So that's another reason why the government is eager to keep the property prices up.
Apart from business investments, Chinese buyers have poured $33 billion on home and commercial properties overseas in 2016, a 53% jump over the earlier year. Thousands of Chinese are still buying homes and commercial property in foreign markets as a combination of savings and their quest for foreign residency. They're finding innovative ways to take money out of the country with the help of real estate agents and shadow banking channels. Our thanks to Saibal Dasgupta for sending this story out of the country and to us. You're listening to VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, India has dropped sedition charges against 15 Muslims who were arrested for celebrating Pakistan's recent victory over India in cricket. The men may still face other charges, including disrupting communal harmony and criminal conspiracy for their rowdy celebration. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Very glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thank you for listening. A rapidly growing robotics industry in India is helping to usher in automation and technology in companies. Anjana Pasricha in New Delhi tells us that all these robots are appearing at a time when India is struggling to create jobs for millions of young people. And the World Bank is now warning that automation could put 70% of India's jobs at risk.
Picking products and carrying away stacked shelves, the butler is becoming a familiar sight in the warehouses of large e-commerce and logistic companies in India. Made by Grey Orange, this artificial intelligence-powered robotic system sets a pace humans cannot match, says the co-founder of India's largest robotics company, Akash Gupta.
If I talk about average case, the retrieval takes place at the rate of 100-120 items per person per day. And we are talking about in the likes of 500 to 600 items per person per hour. So we are talking about a very exponential increase in the efficiency a person has.
The butler, along with a second system called the sorter, which automates the sorting of packages, has transformed warehouses and replaced much of the manual labor. An optimistic Gupta, whose company has expanded across Asia in 7 years, says the robotics revolution is set to reshape many industries. That is not good news for daily wage laborers waiting for work just 10 kilometers away at this busy intersection in the business hub of Gurugram. Word has spread that robots will make traditional tools and skills redundant. 32-year-old Ram Gopal makes about $200 a month working on construction sites.
This is useless. When machines work, where will labor go? If I don't get work I know, what will I do?
While losing jobs to automation is a worldwide concern, the worst hit will likely be countries like India and those in Southeast Asia, because low-wage labor will no longer be an advantage. In Cambodia, Indonesia, Philippines, Thailand and Vietnam, for example, about 130 million jobs are in a high-risk category in sectors such as textiles and manufacturing. In India, the toll could be a staggering 200 million jobs. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news alert from VOA Asia, an Indian man on death row in Pakistan after a military court sentenced him on spying and terrorism charges, has appealed to the country's army chief for clemency. India said Pakistan had sentenced an innocent Indian citizen without granting him diplomatic access, violation of international treaty. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Muslims in the United States want their fellow Americans to be more aware of the good works that many of them perform in their communities. Recently, on World Humanitarian Aid Day, hundreds of Muslims were out on the streets of Los Angeles to support the city's homeless population. Gina Dulur has followed the story, and Joy Wagner tells us what she found out.
More than 500 Muslim volunteers who were fasting for Ramadan gathered on a hot day on Skid Row, the L.A. street notorious for its thousands of homeless residents. The volunteers offered clothes, hygiene essentials, food, water, and other necessities to these residents who live their lives on the street. They were even offering free HIV tests and dental screenings. For 18 years, the Muslim community of Los Angeles has done outreach to help the homeless toward the end of Ramadan. They say that as Americans, what happens in their cities and in their country matters to them.
As a Muslim, it's important that we treat mankind correctly the way that we are guided in the Quran. The Quran is the holy book of Islam, and in this book, it tells us to provide neighborly needs. So this is a way that we show charity. We provide neighborly needs for those who are in need of it.
Organizers say it's important for the media to cover events like this that show Muslims serving their communities.
Because that's what essentially is not being captured in the media. We're being scapegoated, and a lot of Muslims in the media are being scapegoated in a way, in a negative way, where they're told to be a certain way, or they're told to be of a certain background.
It's estimated that since 1999, the Muslim community in the United States has helped 80,000 homeless people across the country. For them, it's all about working for the greater good.
I mean, in society, you think about, you know, your cab driver is a Muslim, your doctor is a Muslim, your nurse is a Muslim. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a Muslim. You know, we're here spreading the fabric of society, giving and serving and doing our best. And we're just like every other human being on this earth. We want to contribute. We want to make a difference. We want to have a good life. And we want to participate in that definition of what it means to have an American dream.
For Zhenya Dulo in Los Angeles, I'm Joy Wagner, VOA News.
Developing at this hour in Asia, the United States pushed China during high-level security talks to step up diplomatic and economic pressure to rein in the Kim Jong-un regime in North Korea. But defense analysts say Washington may have to lower its expectations due to Beijing's strategic relationship with Pyongyang. Top stories and interesting features are found every day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, an estimated 8 to 12 million Americans have a medical condition called peripheral artery disease, or PAD. The condition is caused by plaque buildup in the arteries and can be extremely painful. But as VOA's Faith Lapidus tells us in this report written by Kevin Enix, some new space-age technology could provide relief.
In the freezing vacuum of space, astronauts wear special pants that help maintain their body heat inside their suits. They look a bit like a wetsuit, and in some ways, that's exactly what they are. The pants are filled with tubes and can be pumped full of water. In this case, very warm water, to help alleviate the painful symptoms of peripheral artery disease, or PAD.
So the idea is if you do these repeated bouts of heating, exposures to heat therapy, that those vessels will become more able to vasodilate during a situation such as exercise. What that means is that there would be more blood flow, more oxygen being delivered to those working muscles, and we anticipate that this would prolong the time that they can walk before they feel pain.
The researchers found that just one session with the space pants increased blood flow to the legs of people who have PAD.
We saw reductions in blood pressure that lasted for more than an hour after the treatment was applied. We saw substantial changes in blood flow to their most symptomatic leg, which is one of the primary goals of these therapies, to restore blood flow to the affected limbs.
Over 200 million people around the world suffer from PAD symptoms. And after these initial results, researchers are ramping up their study.
So far we enrolled, this is a clinical trial that we're conducting at IU School of Medicine. We enrolled 5 patients so far, and we have basically 2 years more to go to enroll an additional 25 or 26 patients to get to our initial conclusion on whether this could be helpful in terms of restoring walking function in these patients.
The system is a bit bulky, but the researchers hope to develop a pair of pants with a small portable pump that would allow people to use them at home. For writer Kevin Enox, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
It's Friday, and for many people, it's pretty much the end of the week for them, and you're looking for something to do, perhaps go to the movies. Well, there is the latest installment of the Transformers saga, Transformers The Last Night, which opens here in U.S. theaters on June 23rd. And as VOA Asia's David Byrd tells us, this time Mark Wahlberg teams up with Sir Anthony Hopkins and newcomer Laura Haddock to save the Earth from destruction.
A thousand years. We've kept it hidden. The secret history of Transformers. Here, on Earth. Now, to save our future, we must unlock the past.
Mark Wahlberg returns as Cade Yeager, the junkyard-running Autobot ally who helped repair the badly damaged Optimus Prime in a previous movie. But Optimus is largely absent in this film. Fans won't see him for much of it. To save the Earth, Cade Yeager forms an unlikely alliance with an English lord, played by Anthony Hopkins, and an Oxford University professor, played by newcomer Laura Haddock. They're out to discover why the Transformers keep coming back to Earth. At the film's London premiere, director Michael Bay said that he was reluctant to take on this franchise, which has made billions of dollars since its debut.
I did the first one, and I was very unsure of it. Steven Spielberg called me. He said, I got this idea, a boy in a car finds a car. And I thought, no, I don't know if that's a good idea. Then I went to Hasbro, and I said to myself, I can make these robots look really real. And I gave it a go, and I just remember I kept having this image of these robots hiding behind a kid's house. And it was like such a wish fulfillment thing. And that's how it started.
Fans can look for plenty of plot twists and intersections between humans and Transformers, including in the court of King Arthur. It turns out Merlin's staff was an alien creation, and the artifact is why the Transformers are coming to Earth. Now that the mostly absent Optimus has returned to find his world destroyed, guess what he needs to fix things? Mark Wahlberg said that he feels the movie is something special, and he predicted that fans will really enjoy it.
It's been a long time coming. We've been making this movie for quite some time. I know Michael has been working feverishly in editing the movie, and, you know, it's always a race to make it to the finish line. But we feel like we've done something really special for the last installment, so to be able to share it with the fans and have people finally see it, it's amazing.
Laura Haddock is known most for her role as Meredith Quill in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. She plays Oxford professor Vivian Wembley. She's smart, she's sexy, and she's a descendant of Merlin. Yep, that Merlin. Haddock says her biggest thrill was working with the Transformers.
I think it's the robots. I think they're full of personality, full of character, and everybody has a favorite, and they're just a lot of fun. They're real, relatable characters, which I think is what's made it so successful. That and all the explosions and the adrenaline.
There's plenty of adrenaline in this film. Anyone who has seen a Transformer film knows that a lot of stuff is going to be smashed, blown up, knocked down, and otherwise destroyed. Transformers The Last Night is rated PG-13 for violence and intense sequences of sci-fi action, language, and some innuendo. In Washington, I'm David Byrd.
If you happen to be in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, check us out. VOA Asia is on Helps Radio at Help University in Kuala Lumpur. We thank everyone there who's been listening today. And we thank you for wherever you are in the world for joining us. You can also find our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. And we invite you to write to us. VOA Asia Facebook is a great way to send us a message. Or you can send us just a classic old email, voaasia@voanews.com. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Carl Starling, managing editor, Diane Gao, Ali Ogden, and David Byrd of the VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.